Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Come on, anybody excited to be alive today? I don't know, if you're going to be alive, I feel like today is a good option. You know what I'm saying? So glad that you're with us today at Life Center. If I haven't met you, my name is Tyler, and I serve on the team here. And it is so good to see you, whether you're with us online or on site. Glad that you're worshiping with us today. Last week, we jumped into a brand new collection of messages entitled Rhythms. Can you say Rhythms? So we're going to spend a number of weeks here talking about some rhythms that are important in our lives as followers of Jesus. Last week, we started with a rhythm called repentance. And this week, we're going to switch gears a little bit, more on that in a moment. But we find our anchor for this series of messages in Jesus' words, Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to look to Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. It's a modern version of Jesus' words in the message. He says this, Jesus' words, are you tired? Anybody fall into that category right now? Come on, I know some of us, we have small kids. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Then Jesus gives us a simple invitation. He gives us these three words. He says, come to me. Would you say those three words with me? Come to me. Come on, one more time. Come to me. I love that Jesus offers us a solution for those of us who find us a little bit weary, a little bit exhausted. Maybe for those of us who are skeptical about the church, maybe we've experienced that burnout from religion, we've experienced some church hurt. Jesus, he offers us a solution to that weariness, to that exhaustion, or to that pain. It's a three-word invitation. Come to me. Come to me. He continues on. He says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. Hang on to that word. We're going to come back to that. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. He goes on to say, I'll teach you the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. How many of you, if that invitation was presented to you, you'd say, yeah, sign me up. I love this idea that Jesus offers us a better way. Oh, yes, he does. So many people that I run into in the world in which we live, they seem stressed out. They seem burned out. They seem like their anxiety meter is running in the red all of the time. Life is always redlining. And yet it appears like Jesus offers a different rhythm. It's interesting that on the other side of that three-word invitation, come to me, he says, you'll actually recover your life. You'll recover your life. Now, here's the point today that I want us to recognize and understand. Your life isn't designed to be disposable. Your life is designed to be renewable. Oh, yeah. Let me say that one more time. Your life isn't designed to be disposable. Your life is designed to be renewable. Now, this matters because there's a big difference. Today I have two AA batteries. And on the surface, they have the same characteristics. They have the same design. They have the same shape. There's some different colors on them. But when one of these gets depleted, when one of them runs to empty, what do? With it? We simply throw it away. We dispose of it. But this other battery, it's not meant to be thrown out once it gets depleted. No, this other battery is, it's actually designed, it's created in order to be recharged or renewed. And I watch too many people, they're running on fumes in life. They're running through their days. And at the end of the day, it's just kind of, well, that day is gone. And they're always looking to kind of dispose of the realities of life. But God has something better for you. Today, I want to talk about a rhythm called renewal. Renewal. Because here's what I believe, that Jesus wants to renew your life today. Some of you tuned in online right now, and you are literally running on fumes. You're just hoping to make it through work tomorrow. Can I tell you, that's not God's ultimate design. And by the way, those of you who are in the room, God doesn't want to give you just enough to hopefully get to the other side of Thursday. God wants to renew your life. You are not designed to be disposable. You are designed to be renewable. But here's what I've learned about recharging batteries. Recharging batteries takes time. Recharging batteries, it takes intentionality. And some of us were like, well, I don't got time for that. Well, if that's your commitment, saying, I don't have time to do that, Tyler. That sounds nice in your little world, but in the real world in which I live, I don't got time. Get ready to continue to feel depleted. But Jesus offers you something better. That three-word invitation, come to me. Come to me. Now, we understand that God maybe has designed us to be renewable or rechargeable, but here's what I've come to learn. What you plug into matters. Some of us, we want to be renewed, and yet some of us, we figure, okay, the way, Tyler, that I plug in, the way that I renew, I just need a little bit more caffeine. Come on, any other caffeine addicts in the house? I know you're here. I know you're here. So what do? We plug into another venti whatever. We're just like, okay, time to renew my Monday morning. Better get my caffeine fix on. Others of us, though, it's not necessarily caffeine. Some of us, we always look for the next piece of inspiration. I just need a little bit of inspiration. I need a fresh idea. I need a new concept. And yet the problem is those things aren't the ultimate design of renewal that you need. You see, we need to understand this battery has a limited supply. It only lasts so long, just like us. We have a limited supply. I've never met anybody that God loves so much that he decided to give them 25 hours in their day. It hasn't happened yet. We have a limited supply, but here's the point, and catch this. We are designed to plug into an unlimited source. We continue to draw upon, but again, here's the challenge. Recharging takes time. Recharging takes intentionality. Recharging does not happen on accident. It happens on purpose. And so today, I want us to lean into this idea. Why? Because God has more for you than just settling for running on fumes. Some of us, we come limping in to the weekend. And I'm not downplaying the responsibility or the weight that you carry. There's some single parents in the house today. There's some single parents watching. And you're working multiple jobs. You're just trying to make ends meet. And you are weary. But can I tell you, God loves you too. Oh, yes, and he wants to renew you. Oh, yes. There's some individuals, you're leading corporations, you're leading small businesses, and you are exhausted. The weight of responsibility rests on you. And guess what? This call for renewal is for you as well. There's some of you who are late in your teen years or early in your 20s, and you think you're overwhelmed. I love you. God wants to renew your strength as well. I get it. We wear badges of honor in our society, in our culture, about how busy we are. And we try to spiritualize our stupidity sometimes. When God has something so much better. You are not designed to live life that's disposable. You're designed to live a life that is renewable. But in order to experience that renewal, we have to operate in what He provides. So my question that I want us to wrestle with over the next couple of minutes is this. Is there room for some renewal in your life today? Is there room for God to renew a little bit of your strength? And I want us to go to a familiar psalm. We're going to go to Psalm 23. Some of us, if we've been around church for a while, no doubt we've heard this psalm. Others of us, even if you're new to church, you've probably heard these words at some point. But David writes this psalm, and he describes God this way. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Can you say shepherd? Shepherd. Now, David, he would have understood the implications of that statement because David himself, before he ever became king, he was a shepherd. And so he knew what it looked like to guard the flock, to lead the flock, to provide for the flock. Listen to this, to do life with the flock. What's interesting about this statement, this first verse in chapter 23, is it's a little bit different than often what we read in the Psalms, because often in the Psalms you'll hear our language. God is our refuge. God is our strength. It's this kind of collective view, but David here gets very specific and very purposeful and personal. He says this, he says, "The Lord," literally, "Yahweh is my shepherd. I have what I need." Now let me just stop right there. What would it take for you to come to a place in your life where you could look around and say, "I have what I need"? Some of us, we would say, "Okay, Tyler, if I just had one more day in my week, if I had one more day to get everything done that needs to get done, then I could look at life and say, I have all that I need." Let's be honest, you would not. Because if God gave you one more day a week, you want to know what you'd do? You'd fill that day up with a bunch of stuff too. It's the law of expanding time. If you have all day to send 3 emails, how long is it going to take you to send those 3 emails? All day. If you have 30 minutes to send those 3 emails, how long is it going to take you to send those 3 emails? 30 minutes. It's the way life works. For you to get to a place where you could say, "I have all I need," what does that look like? What does that mean for you? What does that mean for your family? I want you to try to imagine. I want you to try to picture it. Why? Because David, in the midst of his own needs, in the midst of his own journey, he understands that with Yahweh, God as his shepherd, he has everything he needs. And here's one of the ways that God reveals to David this renewal. David goes on. He says, "He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." This is the original reference to golfing. David was a golfer. Come on, all the golfers said, amen, right? Continues on. He renews. Can you say renews? He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. He renews my life. God wants to renew your life today. Why? Because you are valuable. If you were simply just designed to be disposable, God would not care what your soul's condition is in. But he does care about you. Therefore, he provides an opportunity for your life, for your strength, for your vision, for your health, for your family to be renewed. You're valuable to God.
Yes, you are.
Well, Tyler, I don't know if I feel. No, he is your shepherd.
Oh, yes.
And a shepherd values the sheep. So today, to help us wrap our minds around practically, how do we experience this renewal? What do we actually do? How do we walk in this place where my life can begin to be renewed? Today, I want to offer three practices, or maybe said a different way, three things that we can plug our lives into in order to experience that recharging, that renewing that God makes available through his grace. The first practice is this. We need to learn how to recreate. Can you say recreate? We need to recreate. Now, some of you, you're just like, wait, what? Where's that in Scripture? Like, go camping for the glory of God? What does that mean? Recreate. And I get it, because there's a lot of us right now, we live in the Pacific Northwest. It's summer, and so some of you right now have already checked out going, I'm recreating all the time. But understand this. There's a difference between God's design for recreation and you going, packing up your family, going on vacation, living that week in such a way that when you get home, you need a vacation from the vacation that you just had. Come on, somebody knows what I'm talking about right there. What is this recreation, and why would God even care about recreation? Well, consider the words of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, can you say whatever? Whatever? That means if I go hiking, if I go fishing, if I go golfing, if I go on a walk, if I take a nap for the glory of God, not during my message though. Save that for later. Whatever you do. What? Do it all for the glory of God. That means when I'm out with my family and we're on a hike or we're out on the boat, guess what? That space can be as much of a worship moment as this is with your hands raised in church. Now, don't get it mixed up. Don't say, well, I don't need church because I'm just having church out here. No. There's something important about the gathering together of God's people. There's the gathering and the scattering. The key is learning to do whatever you do, not for your glory, but for God's glory. Recreate. This matters because God, he cares for your whole life, not what we just label as our spiritual lives. Some of us, we need to get our theology turned around here, because some of us, we think God only pays attention once we crack open the Bible. Or God only pays attention once we finally walk through the doors of the church or tune in online. But no. You have God's attention in everything that you do. He cares about your whole life, not just what we label as our spiritual life. Think about that word recreate for a moment. Break it apart. What does God want to do? He wants to recreate some space in your life. He wants to recreate some dynamics as you break away from life as normal. See, that idea of recreation, it simply means this, to give new life, energy, or encouragement, to refresh, to enjoy or entertain oneself. Do you know that it puts a smile on God's face when you're enjoying life as he wants you to enjoy it? That includes recreation. God gives us recreation in order to recreate, but what we need to understand, there's some counterfeits in our society. There's some counterfeits that sometimes we settle for. Instead of leaning into the real thing called recreation, we settle for a cheap knockoff. One of the counterfeits is this, living distracted. There's a lot of people, they just want to be distracted from reality, and we put that in this little box called recreation. Well, it's just my free time. I just want to be distracted. And so maybe for you, you think to yourself, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to enjoy a show and just kind of unplug for a bit, and then 9 hours later, you get yourself up off the couch after binging an entire season. Hypothetically, some of you are offended right now. Tyler, that's my recreation. Is it recreation, or are you just wanting to be distracted? Are you inviting God into that space to renew you, or are you just trying to check out for a bit? Living distracted, I believe, is a counterfeit. Another counterfeit, though, is this. It's living medicated. So in other words, instead of trying to distract ourselves, what do? We try to numb ourselves. So some of us, we don't like how life feels. So what do? We try to numb how life feels with some recreation. Some of you will get that later. So having just a few too many and finding yourself, well, it just kind of takes the edge off of a hard, stressful day and a hard, stressful life. God's not inviting you into a life of being numb. He wants to recreate. He wants to renew your life. Don't settle for a counterfeit. Here's another counterfeit in our culture. It's living for hedonism. Hedonism. What's hedonism? Hedonism is an ideal where we put pleasure as the highest good. Does that sound anything like the world in which you live in? So pleasure is the ultimate goal, but a specific kind of pleasure, pleasure that's centered on self. That's not recreation. That's hedonism. God has something so much better. He wants to renew your life. And one of the gifts that he invites us to plug into is recreation. What is it that puts a smile on God's face when he sees you being renewed in recreation? Maybe for you, it's going for a run. Maybe for you, it's going paddleboarding out on the Puget Sound. Maybe it's going for a hike. Maybe it is taking a nap in the hammock. I don't know what it is for you, but I love this idea. There's this old movie that came out back in 1981 called Chariots of Fire. Come on, anybody remember Chariots of Fire? There's a central figure. He was born in China. His name was Eric Little. And Eric, he was born in China, and he knew that God had called him to be a missionary in China. And he's having a conversation at one point in the movie, and he says this to his fiance. He says, "I believe that God made me for a purpose." And I want you to hear this, friends. You have been made with a purpose. Oh, yeah. That's right. He says, "I believe that God has made me for a purpose." And he knew that that was to go to China to be a missionary. But in the midst of this conversation, he's training for the Olympics. He's getting ready to run this race. He says, "I believe that God has made me for a purpose, but he has also made me fast." And then he makes this statement, "And when I run, I feel his pleasure." What is it that you do that when you are engaged in that space, you not only feel good, you feel the pleasure of God looking at you? Some of us, we've woken up early and we've seen this big ball rise. It's called a sunrise. And in that moment, we sense God's pleasure and God's beauty in the midst of that. What is that for you? Find a way to plug into this thing called recreation. Here's a second practice for you to plug into. It's a practice called rejoicing. Can you say rejoice? Rejoice. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 22. I love this. "A joyful heart is good medicine." Anybody else love being around somebody who's just, they're always happy. They always got a smile on. Some are like, "No, I like depressed people." None of us want to settle. And I get it. Some of us, we battle this thing called depression, or we battle anxiety, and it's a very real thing. So I'm not trying to minimize that. But there's something about a joyful heart. It's like a good medicine for our lives, a good medicine for our soul. And I want you to consider for a moment, do you have a good theology of joy? Somebody goes like, I didn't know there was such a thing. Most of us, we know that Jesus wept. But I want to remind you, Jesus also laughed. Jesus, I'm pretty sure, was fun to be around. How do we know that? The kids wanted to hang out with him full time. You ever seen a grouchy old person? Kids are not going, please, please, let me hang with you. They don't do that. They avoid the grouch and they run towards the joy. I asked my kids this question last night at dinner. One of the great, deep theological questions of our time. I looked at them and I asked this question. Does God tell jokes? And you felt this like awkward tension enter the room because part of their brain is going, well, I know God is good and I think he's fun, but the God that I read in scripture, like he's holy, he's serious, he's powerful. And let me settle the tension. I'm pretty sure God tells jokes. Tyler, how do you know that? Mankind was created in his image. And there's some funny people that I've met. Not only that, one time in the Old Testament when God wanted to rebuke a prophet, he used a donkey to do it. God's got a sense of humor. He does all things well. And some of us, we are so serious that we can't step away from the mess of life at times and just simply rejoice that we've been given the gift of today. Rejoice that even though our family isn't perfect, it's the family that God's given us and we can rejoice in it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul says this, rejoice, help me out, always. I looked it up in the Greek. You want to know what it means? Always. Original language and everything. There you go. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything. Now listen to this. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Wait, you mean that God actually wants me to be joyful? Yes. God wants me to enjoy life? Yes. Enjoy it his way, though. And notice what this scripture says. It says rejoice in everything. It doesn't say, or it says be thankful in everything. It doesn't say be thankful for everything. Because even when you aren't thankful for it, you still can be thankful in it. So many people had their thankfulness evaporated over the last 18 months. But guess what? I learned through the journey of COVID, even when I'm not thankful for it, I can still be thankful in it. Why? Because God is with me in it. And that's what I rejoice in. Yet there's some enemies of rejoicing, isn't there? There's some enemies of rejoicing. What's one enemy of rejoicing? Complaining. You ever met somebody and they live like complaining is one of their spiritual gifts? They read a footnote in some heretical Bible that says it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's like, no. I've rarely seen anything improved through complaining. Some of us, when life doesn't go our way, it's not enough just for us to internalize the complaint. We got to tell everybody and make sure everybody knows this isn't supposed to be this way. Complaining is an enemy of rejoicing. Guess what else is, though? Comparing. See, the greatest way to despise what you have is just compare what you have to what somebody else has. It's the quickest way to lose the ability to rejoice. But not only complaining or comparing, there's also this enemy called controlling. This is one we don't really like to talk about. Because some of us, when life doesn't go our specific way, we don't want to rejoice. When it didn't go how our 3-year, 5-year, 360-year plan went, some of us get really frustrated. Why? Because we couldn't control what was going on. You want to know what's at the root of that controlling enemy? Taking yourself too seriously. I can't control things. We can't. Isn't that what the last 18 months kind of taught us collectively as a society, as mankind? Like, I can't control. Well, we should. I can't control it. Doesn't mean you don't have a backbone. Doesn't mean you don't lean into truth. But there's certain things we can't control. And the more you try to control and it doesn't go your way, guess what erodes with it? Your ability to rejoice. Here's the third practice that I think we all need to plug into. It's the area of rest. Can you say rest? Rest. Not right now, again, later on this afternoon. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. If you have your own Bible, you might want to circle that word, he. Him, God. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youths may become faint or weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, those who learn to rest in the Lord will renew. Come on, say renew. Will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. See, it's one thing to know about it. It's another thing to plug into it. Because some of us, we like the idea of rest, but the moment we talk about a biblical principle of rest called Sabbath, we go, whoa, 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 Tyler, that's Old Covenant, that's Old Testament. I'm under grace. But what we need to remember is that when God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis, before the law existed, before the Old Testament existed, God wove into the fabric and design of creation work and rest. Here's what's amazing. I've seen people spiritualize their reasons for not resting. Well, Tyler, I ain't trying to live to be 100. It's awesome. Good for you. You may not try to live to be 100, but I am, as a follower of Jesus, going to try to walk in obedience to what God provides in his grace. And one of those things is called rest. God worked for 6 days. He rested on one of them called the Sabbath. Now, let me be clear. Rest isn't a reward for getting all of your work done. And I get it. There's some single parents in the room right now. There's some employers. You're leading corporations. You're doing different things. You're saying, Tyler, you have no idea the amount of responsibility that's on me. I don't have the luxury of rest. And I'm saying, you need to rest. Your soul needs it. Your mental health needs it. Your kids need you to be rested. Why? Because you're a better human when you're rested. God gives us this gift of rest. I had a friend, his name is Pastor Jude. He said to me one time, Tyler, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Some of you guys, that's the most tweetable thing I've said all day. You're like, oh, I'm remembering that one. There's something about this gift called rest. And again, we don't rest because all of the work is done. Here's God's design. We learn to rest in the midst of the work that he's entrusted to our care. But there's some lies in our culture when it comes to rest. One of the most prevalent lies is this: I don't have time to rest. If that's you, I get it. A lot of us, we got a lot of demands, a lot of stuff going on. I'm not trying to minimize your workload, but friends, if we don't take time, we will end up running dry. The amount of burnout that I see in people and followers of Jesus is, it's crazy. We can't take on the pattern of the world and think that we're going to move God's mission forward. It's a gift. There's another lie, though. This lie says this: what I do is too important. The work that I'm engaged in, it's too important. Here's the subtle belief under that statement: I am too important to rest. And yet here's what, God is so amazing. Here's what God reminds us of as we engage and plug into rest. The world keeps spinning without us. In other words, it humbles us because we realize, man, I took some time to rest and recharge and refresh, and God renewed my strength, and the world didn't fall apart. In other words, it's not all built on me. I can trust in Him. Here's what I'm convinced of. We all need renewal. We all need renewal. I close with this. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, it says that God took mankind, the pinnacle of His creation, and placed mankind into a garden. The garden was called what? Eden. The word Eden in Hebrew literally means place of delight. Isn't that amazing that God's original design was that we would walk with Him and work with Him in this place called delight, but something happened. It was called sin. It fractured that. Yet the good news is Jesus came and He undid the curse of the garden so that we had the freedom to enter back into this place of delight. But here's what I've learned. So many people settle for false delights. There's a longing for Eden in our hearts. There's a longing to be renewed or restored back to that original place that God designed, that place of delight. But we settle for workaholism. We settle for advancements. We settle for production and productivity. And all those things matter. All those things are important. I'm not trying to minimize them. But not at the expense of getting back to God's design. This place called delight. Today, friends, he wants to renew you, but the key to that is simply answering that three-word call. Come to me. Come to me. Today, can I invite you to grab your smartphones? If you're in the room, the team's going to put a QR code up. For those who are watching online, the team's going to put a link up. Every single weekend as we conclude here at Life Center, we talk about some next steps. And listen, this week, we got a few next steps that I can't wait to see who engages in some of these, okay? So grab your phones. If you have a Life Center app, open up that Life Center app. Three next steps. Next step number one is this. Maybe today is your day to say yes to Jesus. See, that's the true source of renewal, knowing that our sin is forgiven, our debt is paid in full through Jesus' life, death, and His resurrection. Here's the second next step. And again, I will read every name who checks this box. I'm telling you right now. This is the second next step. It's this. Refuse to complain for 5 days at work. I just saw multiple people slide their phone back into their pocket right there. Like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do. Imagine instead of complaining this week, you turn your complaint into an opportunity to rejoice. Your boss comes in and says something to you, and you're like, you're about ready to complain, and all of a sudden you go, God, I rejoice in You, and I thank You that I'm not boss, because if I was boss, that dude would be fired right now. You know, like, it's an opportunity to rejoice. Maybe that's your next step. You need to exercise that this week. It's the third next step. You need to renew through either recreation or rest. Maybe you've been going to the lake every weekend, but you come limping into work every Monday, more tired than when you left on Friday. Can I tell you, that's not God's design of recreation. Let God renew you. Let God renew you. Maybe you need to take a nap. Maybe you need to do something that refills your tank. Maybe you need to do something that puts a smile on God's face. Come on, would you join me in a word of prayer right now? Jesus, we thank You for Your gift of grace in our lives. And God, I pray over individuals as we take next steps, as we consider this idea that You actually desire to renew our lives. God, we make room for that. I pray that You would teach us to do recreation Your way, that You'd teach us to rejoice in You, that we would plug into these things, that we would learn to rest in Your design. And God, through it, that our lives would be renewed. God, none of us are designed to be disposable. We're designed by You to be renewable. So would You renew our lives today? Today, maybe it's your desire to say yes to Jesus. Maybe check that first box. If that's you, can I invite you to say this prayer with me? Say, Jesus, thank You for loving me. I put my trust in You. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation. Help me to follow you every day of my life. It's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate those who are making that decision? Today, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet all across this room, balcony, and those who are watching at home, would you stand to your feet as well? Listen, I want to thank you for joining with us at Life Center this weekend. I hope that you'll plan on being with us next weekend. Don't miss next weekend. But as well, we're going to be sent out on assignment because we don't just go to church, we are the church. So let's go, let's be the church this week. Have a great week. God bless. We'll see you soon.